That's so sad.
Yeah.
That is so pathetically sad. I don't even know what to say.
I actually like the line on the surface. The smattering of applause is very weird. Like they obviously didn't turn the sign on, so only like half the people got it.
But it was that was fast applause too.
I didn't come here to leave. That's a good pull quote though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't come here to leave.
End it right there. Not
listen to how fast people were barely even was done. Yeah,
I didn't come here to leave.
Is that it was on? One person. Yeah, that one person didn't stop. Nobody would have.
Stand up for Bill. He's staying here. He's not leaving. He's like, I just got here.
That might have been Jordan.
Let me hear it again. One more time.
I didn't come here to leave.
That might be Jordan.
Good job, Bill. Good job. We practiced that. Good job, Bill.
Good line, though. I like the line. This guy's ready to go.
It is the kind. He better not, is what I would say.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of line that gets thrown back in your face when you do leave. And
right.
Whatever, you can leave. You brought up Nick
Everybody
Saban
does.
Earlier.
Everybody
no, they all do. Bobby yeah. Petrino. No, I'm not going.
Bobby Petrino. Yeah, I don't know if you want to be Bobby Petrino, but yeah.
Where was he?
No, that was the guy, right? We're trying to think of guys that have, like, Rich Rodriguez is back at the same school. Like, a lot of guys are back at the same school.
That is the guy we were talking
Bobby
about Petrino's yesterday.
Yes, of.
But what was his thing? He was at Arkansas. Riding around on like his motorcycle with like the chick from the athletic department, cheating on his wife.
He was another neck brace, wasn't he? Yeah, he was another neck brace guy.
Your wife's like, what?
I gotta get a neck brace. I gotta get one.
Your wife is like, what happened? You're walking around in a neck brace.
Like, I just met this lady.
Your side piece from the athletic department. What a way to.
Why
what
are
a way
you bobbing around campus on a motorcycle with a mistress on the back?
What a way to blow up your own spot.
Just the one person clapping.
What a sad state of
Bobby
affairs.
Bobby Petrino.
That's now
what a legend.
That's now Bill Belichick's, you know, contemporary now. Is the Bobby Petrinos of the world. Look at this poor guy.
The picture of the neck. That's a sturdy neck brace. That's not the Vince McMahon neck brace.
No, that's like you medically need one.
But his face is all just road rash.
Right.
Like he just took a
Brian's
header.
Running Twitch today. We need the Bobby Petrino.
Yeah, Bobby Petrino when he was at Arkansas. Just and then there's a picture of the girl that was on the back of the bike with him.
Yeah, that's one of the worst ways I think to blow up your infidelity. Look at this man.
If you're watching on Twitter and YouTube, that was an all timer.
That's a visual representation of Bill taking the North Carolina job.
100%.
Is what that is. If you just change that to UNC gear, that is visually Bill Belichick's last year.
So he went Louisville, Arkansas, Western Kentucky, Louisville. Missouri State. Now I think he might be a free agent. Maybe in maritally too.
Yeah, maybe. I think he's back out on the market for sure. But so you know, that's the kind of comment where Bobby Petrino gets there's his mistress, where it gets thrown back in your face. Was it worth it, Bobby?
I don't know. I mean, he might have like a vertebrae issue.
Yeah.
Look, is he wearing like a Sugar Bowl hat too? Like his face. Like, matches the Arkansas jacket.
It does. No, the color matches.
That's a lot of... That's
his
that's
face
tough.
Is hamburger.
That is a disaster.
It's rough. Yeah.
It's like, well, luckily my face broke my fall. You're like, yeah, it doesn't look good there, Bobby.
Nope.
But no, these press conferences, and we, you know, everybody rolls and everything, so you can hold it back. But no, my guess is he is there for 3 years.
Well,
I think Bill's going to stay with North Carolina.
This is what I think. I think this is Bill's final chapter. I think this is the end. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937, shortly after high noon, here on a Patriots Friday. We'll get back into Patriots and Cardinals. All your thoughts on Bill Belichick, introduced yesterday at North Carolina. It was sad. Including the clapping there from Jordan and Bubba,
but then
everybody
the,
else there.
But the they jumped in.
Let's get it going. Yeah.
But the athletic director cutting his sleeves off his jacket, like that's not on Bill. Like that is like Bill's like you don't need to do that. Like you're making it more of a
it's a little
clown
on
show.
Bill.
Well, what? Just because he used to cut the
sleeves
off?
No, just because you're the one choosing to stoop to this level and go to college sports. This is what you get in college sports.
I know.
You get Mickey Mouse ADs cutting their sleeves off their suit jacket.
But you do get $10 million.
Yeah.
You do get that 10 mil.
Yeah.
That's his quote. That's what he gets.
Look at this guy.
This guy's like, look at my jacket. He's ruined a perfectly good jacket for like 30 seconds of a bad joke.
So if you're not watching along on twitch.tv/BostonWEI, I highly encourage for all of our Bobby Petrino references.
Get in
there. Bubba Cunningham references, who's
not
the AD.
Not ready for a Bobby Petrino today.
But again. The University of North Carolina. No, I wasn't ready either, but then what I'm saying is if Bill leaves, that comment's going to get thrown back in his face, but he wouldn't be the worst first. Petrino, Saban, all these guys, no, I'm not leaving. I didn't come here to leave. and then he turns around and bolts. The details on the contract, we got into this earlier today. He has all kinds of, well, first of all, he's making a base salary of $1 million, and then he's making an additional $9 million in supplementary income, which is just a way to hide this contract. Bill is private about his contract. He was forever here. Very few people knew about his contract details. Now you're a public official, or at least you're a, that's the wrong way to phrase it, but you're a state employee.
Yeah.
And all of these contracts are public record.
Right. And so, oh, yeah, you can't hide it like you did in the NFL.
Well, but you can to a degree.
Well,
with the,
you know what I mean. We'll know, know what he's making.
We know the total financial compensation, but they're hiding it as best they can, the supplemental income. So a state taxpayer is paying for a car for Bill. Are they paying for a residence for Bill? Are they paying for multiple residents? Like, these are the kind of things that...
A cell phone.
Bill probably doesn't want known.
The Lincoln Riley deal where they bought him a house.
Are they paying for his YouTube TV? Because that thing's going up again. Maybe Bill's like, hey, cover that for me.
Man.
And so, like, all these things are public record unless you put it under supplemental income, and then it's kind of hidden. But he's also getting bonuses for wins every year and bowl appearances and college football playoffs and top 25 rankings and all these things. In the contract, there's a buyout after a year, and it's not until the summertime, so it's a year plus. But he has a $10 million buyout, which he could get out of easily. And after that, it goes down to $1 million, which to me just tells you Bill wants the door open to leave. Now, I don't think he's going to get an opportunity to go back to the NFL. I don't know why you would jump ship to another college program after a year or two when you just got to North Carolina, but the door is open to do that.
Yeah.
There is an opportunity for Bill to leave. Do you think this is it? Do you think this is the final stop for Bill?
I do. I really do. We were talking how Romeo Crennel a few years ago took over as interim head coach of the Houston Texans. So he wasn't even... like the plan to be the head coach, but he was the interim head coach, and at 73 was the oldest head coach in NFL history. So Bill's 72 right now. So if he coaches 1 year at North, even if it's 1 year at North Carolina, let alone three, then if he comes back to the NFL, he'd be the oldest of all time. Now, again, maybe the greatest of all time, so maybe he would be the oldest of all time, and maybe somebody would give him a chance. I don't think so. I don't think, even if he does well at North Carolina, I think people know the coach Bill Belichick is. They know sort of the GM that he is. He has more NFL experience than anybody walking the planet Earth does today. So I don't think there's anything else he could do where NFL teams would be like, now he's a good candidate. Like, isn't he already the candidate that he's going to be? He's more he's more of a finished product than certainly anybody else could possibly be.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you laid out the scenario, it's an extreme scenario, but let's play it out. He goes undefeated and he's in the college football playoff or something like that. Would NFL teams come knocking? My guess is yes. But it would have to be an extreme situation like that. And even then, I still don't think he's getting his pick of the litter. I think he's...
But then there's still the same reservations about, all right, do we give him full control? Do we let him bring everybody in? Like, do we do all of this
but
stuff?
But don't you have a little less reservation about if the game's passed him by? Like, if he's in college and it's working...
I think that's low on the list, to be honest.
So I would have it high on my personal list. Maybe that is low on an owner's list. But I wouldn't have as many fears about that, and I wouldn't have fears about him connecting with young players because he's doing it at North Carolina.
I do feel like his age, not just the connection to young players, but just his overall age, especially the way the NFL is more likely to hire a guy in his 30s than even his 50s at this point. So now you're talking about a 70-year-old coach.
Yeah.
Because then what are you really thinking? Four-year deal, and now he's coaching until he's 77? I think the age might be... either number one or number two issue for NFL teams right now. But I think outside of that, it is just, do we really want to turn over complete control to this guy who didn't draft well over the last several years? And then I think maybe third on the list would be, you know, what kind of offense is he going to bring in? Who's the offensive coach and what's that going to look like? Because, you know, his record without Tom Brady is very clear what it is. So, like, what's your plan offensively? Like, I trust him to coach him up defensively, I mean, and special teams wise.
The one thing, I guess there was 2021 after Brady, but he immediately erased all of that. The one thing that Bill going to North Carolina and winning for 2 years, and say he goes 500 in year one, and in year two he wins 8 or 9 games, and they're in a decent bowl game, maybe even the college football playoff. You know, two ACC teams got in this year, Clemson and SMU. Maybe he finds a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're one of those in that situation in 2 years, at least he's got a little positive momentum. It's at the college level, but he's at least got a little positive momentum. It's been a while since Bill's had any positive momentum. Now, I don't forecast that. I don't think it's going to work at North Carolina, and I don't think he's going to get another opportunity. But if it goes well at North Carolina, I could see teams, even at his advanced age, calling him. And he clearly thinks that, which is why the contract is structured the way that it is. 617.
Do you think it's also North Carolina at all covering themselves?
How so?
Well, if they want to get out of it without having to go the full tilt, and they can be like, all right, we got to pay them, but we don't have to pay them $50 million.
Well, because the contract is only guaranteed for 3 years. So, yes, I think the buyout is to protect him to leave. The contract only being fully guaranteed for 3 of the 5 years is to protect them.
Because they're like, hey, we think this is going to work. That's why we're hiring you, but you've never coached in college. You are older. Like, let's see how this goes.
I mean, it tells you neither one really thinks it's going to be a long-term marriage. Neither one really thinks that.
Well, it physically can't be, you know?
Yeah, what's the shelf life even for, you brought it up earlier in the week. Not that it ended well for this guy. You know, Joe Pa or some of these
Bobby Bowden.
That's a great one. So, guys coaching until like 80?
But they had also never, like, they weren't like new to it.
Correct.
Like, everything had grown around them. They created the whole franchise.
And at the end, and you said this earlier in the week, at the end, they were just
coaching in the booth,
sitting upstairs in a booth, basically a figurehead of the program.
But, like, North Carolina just fired a 73-year-old coach and then hired a 72-year-old coach.
Got younger.
And, like, Mac Brown had been there and, like, had another one of these guys, two stops at one school.
Mm.
It's way more common, I guess, than we think.
It's true.
Like, just rehire. This guy was good 20 years ago. Let's bring him back.
Bring him back.
So that's what they did. But it's funny because the two oldest coaches in the NFL last year were Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick, and then when they got fired, they got replaced by the two youngest coaches in the NFL currently, whereas now North Carolina is just like doubling down on the old dudes.
And Carroll would come back to college, not as like a completely separate. I think so too. Do you think
he's old though? Like, I
think he wants to.
I think he wants to still coach.
But then what?
I don't know. Like,
I would call Pete Carroll before I called Bill Belichick if I were a college program.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So maybe he doesn't want to.
Maybe he doesn't. Because he's got some sort of job. Like,
he has an advisor role with the Seahawks.
I was going to say, so he might have been pissed, but it obviously didn't end as ugly as it did here. Like, he's still employed by Seattle.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, maybe he's good with that.
We also have the Patriots and Cardinals on Sunday. We were talking about the Pats coming back from a bye week. How do they look? How much is at stake for Jerod Mayo? Greeny is in Bridgewater. Go ahead, Greeny.
Yeah. Why y'all so hard on Jerod Mayo? Why y'all don't want to see black coaches in the NFL?
Well, I don't think it's that greedy. I think we're hard on him because he's won three games.
It's
more than that. It's more than that. You was hard on Missoula too. And Missoula came and won a Super Bowl.
We were hard on Missoula.
Where we did not win a Super Bowl, yeah. Greeny.
It's fair. Greeny, it's fair.
Y'all be going for Jerod. Y'all going to be gone before him.
Okay,
well,
maybe.
I bet you that me and my buddy got a bet. He got y'all, and I got you guys to be gone.
Well, I appreciate your buddy taking our side.
Okay, hang on. Wait, but
the black coach number. Yeah, that's what it is.
Greeny, was I hard on Bill Belichick?
Yeah. You went hard on him.
Didn't I want
Bill? He's been making fun of Bill for the last, like, 2 years.
Didn't I want Bill Belichick gone?
Oh, yeah.
Say it again.
He had sucked for 4 years. You're supposed to be hard on him.
Okay. Well, Mayo sucked all year, so we're not supposed to be hard on Mayo?
Oh, he ain't been coaching over 4 months yet.
Has he been good?
Yeah.
Were we hard on Monty?
Y'all getting Dre May like he don't want a Super Bowl. He might be a flash in the pan like Mac Jones. We don't know yet.
Well, at least there's a flash. Has Dre Mayo had a flash yet?
But that's why Kraft ain't going to listen to you guys. He wouldn't have a damn six Super Bowl. He won't listen to y'all.
Okay.
Y'all, you want him out, but he's black.
Greeny?
There ain't going to be none of that.
Greeny,
yeah, black players wouldn't want to come here.
Greeny.
Come on.
Oh, they're lining up to play for the Patriots now.
Greeny,
yeah,
don't be a stranger.
No, they see some racist stuff go
they
down.
They didn't get
they
anybody.
We got to pay a double. Yeah.
Oh, because they listen
to
our show?
Kraft don't listen to y'all. Kraft is not a racist. He's not going to listen to you.
Okay.
He want to make money.
Greeny, don't be a stranger.
They're losing money right now.
He wants to make money. I feel like he got us. We do not root for Jerod Mayo because we don't want to see black coaches do well in the NFL.
Right.
All right. I mean, he got us there.
That's it.
I
appreciate Greeny's buddy saying we're going to last longer than Mayo.
What
a good bet. I wonder what the bet is for.
Yeah.
How many hams? How many PS5s?
If I could ever get in a question there, I would have made sure to
There's
ask
There's a lot
it.
Of Greeny.
So that's okay. Greeny, don't be a stranger. I feel like I was openly campaigning for Bill to be out of a job for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah. Nah, we don't like black coaches.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
That's why we don't like Jerod Mayo. It's not because he doesn't do anything and he looks clueless every weekend. It's got nothing to do with that. When you're right, you're right.
Why are you hard on Jerod Mayo?
It's like a My Cousin Vinny thing because you guys are saying it sarcastically.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I shot the clerk. One of those. Yeah. No, Jerod Mayo, it's not because they've won three games and they're worse than a year ago. It's not because of that.
Right.
No.
What does he do well? If Greeny wants to call back, he can think about that. Call us next week, Greeny. Call us next week. with what Mayo does well.
It said on the subject line, he has money on the game this week.
No, he has money on us lasting longer than Mayo or Mayo lasting longer than us.
Oh, well, he said that on the call. I thought he said on the screen he had money on the game.
No.
He's okay.
Who lasts
right.
longer?
He did tell us he has money on Mayo lasting longer than us.
I love that he's like,
which honestly,
my buddy's taking you guys. I was like, I respect your buddy then. That's probably a Vegas. You could probably bet on that somewhere.
Honestly, you know, Greeny.
-120 each.
Not the worst bet. Not the worst bet I've ever heard.
No.
Greeny, you know, not the worst bet I've ever heard
no,
in my life.
No, it's not.
Here you go. At the risk of taking another one of our Mayo hatred phone calls.
Yeah.
Riley is in Raymond. You think we're too hard on Gerard Mayo?
Hey, so I don't necessarily think that you're too hard on Gerard Mayo. My question is, in your mind, what is worse? Like, let's say they go 4-13 this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that worse than a Bill Belichick, greatest coach of all time, 4-13 season? Like, what's actually worse?
Okay, they're 4-13 this year versus 4-13 a year ago. Which one's worse? This feels worse. This
yeah.
feels worse.
No, it does. It does feel worse.
But should it be worse because Bill's supposed to be a better coach and all these things, and he should get more out of a crummy team?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess there's that. You think the floor would be higher with Belichick, but at the same time, he at least does have a track record to fall back on. You can point to Super Bowls and winning seasons. You can't do that with Mayo. So all you have with Mayo is a 3 or 4 win team.
Do you accept the people who say, yeah, but Bill didn't have Drake May and Gerard Mayo has Drake May? Like, in other words, that Bill had a reason to only win 4 games.
Yeah, but
this
I
team
would,
has no excuse to win 4 games.
And then I would argue he was the head coach that played Brissett for 6 weeks or whatever it was. So, like, that's also on him.
No, I'm saying as an excuse for Bill. Bill did not
Bill
have
Mac
Drake
Jones.
May.
Yeah, you could.
Bill would get more out of this roster if he had Drake May.
Yeah, you could. No, but I think the real argument is maybe neither are the right guy. Maybe Bill at 72 and Mayo now aren't the right answer.
I also don't think, and I'm not the first to say this, I don't think Bill would have drafted Drake May.
I don't either.
I think you would have traded down and taken Joe Alt and something like that, and you wouldn't have Drake May.
Right.
Which,
exactly.
There's a reason there for Gerard Mayo.
Mm.
But okay, our biases have been exposed for all to see about Gerard Mayo this year. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. We will talk to Alex Van Pelt and Mike Nwenu on a Patriots Friday that comes your way later on this hour. Keeps keys at 1 o'clock sharp, and we'll get to the Celtics and the Bruins right after Trending with Billy Lane. Another strong performance out of the Celtics last night. No Jason Tatum. And Celtics beat the Pistons easily. Peyton Pritchard off the bench. Another 27 points. Is that where he finished? And 7 threes last night.
Oh, he's lighting it up.
10
you
assists.
Know
Derek White had 7 threes.
I don't say this very often, Jones,
yes.
But you might have been right.
Celtics are not screwed.
No, not that. We were talking a while ago when they were playing the Cavs, and you said that Peyton Pritchard's
greater than Darius Garland.
Better than Darius Garland, and I was like, there's no way. Way.
It's
I
possible.
Think he's better. He's awesome this year.
Yeah.
He's so good, and Garland's very up and down, but Pritchard's been like consistently nails.
It would annoy me a little bit if I were Peyton Pritchard that I still get brought off the bench in some of these games when they're down multiple players, but it's working.
I think that's sort of the thing, though, right? Like, you like the spark off the bench. I think he's sort of embracing it. Like, some guy, like, he's a good bench player this year.
Sure.
Also keeps you in the mix for sixth man of the year. You don't want to start too many games.
Well,
because remember, like,
that's a good point.
Because Derek White, was it 2 years ago? Derek White, you're like, oh, he's a good sixth man.
You start
like,
getting into too many games, and it tanks your sixth man of the year candidacy. But you also want to be known as a starter in the NBA, not a bench player.
That's true. But if you're the sixth man on the best team, pretty good. Like, do you think Peyton Pritchard right now would trade? Obviously, money's different. Like, more money, the merrier. But do you think he'd rather be, like, Terry Rozier from the last few years or Peyton Pritchard
no,
this year?
No, he'd rather be Peyton Pritchard.
I think,
agree with that. And I'm not trying to even start trouble with Pritchard within the team.
No,
I'm just saying,
know,
me personally, I would kind of want to start if I were him, but that's a minor gripe.
I gotcha.
They win easily. They hit a bunch of threes. Detroit hits no threes. And the Celtics win easily without Tatum. We'll get some thoughts on that. We'll get to the Bruins as well.
Oof.
Another nice outing from
rough.
Them last night. However, at a Major League Baseball, a player the Red Sox were linked to via trade just got dealt to the Yankees.
Oh, the Yankees?
Jeff Passan, breaking. Yankees are finalizing a trade to acquire closer Devin Williams from the Milwaukee Brewers. Sources tell ESPN. Refresh my memory on what happened with him in the postseason last year. Did he blow a lead in one of the games in the NL playoffs?
Yeah, it looks like...
I feel like he had kind of fallen out of favor
loss.
There.
He played 2 games, took a loss, gave up a bunch of runs in an appearance.
So there
sounds
you go.
Right.
Was it against the Mets? I'm trying to remember what series it was.
I think that was the only series they played.
Okay, so right. So he did not have a great postseason. I think his regular season numbers and strikeout totals and everything were off the charts. Left-hander Nestor Cortes is among the players headed to Milwaukee in a trade that sent Devin Williams to the Yankees, sources tell ESPN. So I wasn't real gung-ho about getting another arm out of the bullpen. You know, I mean, they need them, but I'm not like, you have to give up prospects or like bring in a big ticket or use a big league player, even like the Yankees are doing with Nestor Cortes, whether it's Abreu or anybody like that, to go get a closer. That was not super high on my priority list.
Got Chapman.
I know they have to fill out the bullpen and get a closer ahead of Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
And Devin Williams.
It's Justin Wilson.
Would have been that. That's true. We're all sleeping on.
We forgot about
Justin Wilson.
Justin Wilson.
Yeah, we did sleep on that.
Yeah.
But this is a player they have been linked to, and now the Yankees are getting him. Any concern there? Any thoughts there?
No, you knew that. Oh, yeah. You knew they were going to add, right? They lose out on Juan Soto, so they can't just sit back and get nobody. They go crazy and they sign Max Fried, which could work out for them, right? That's a huge signing. But Devin Williams has been pretty consistent over the last 3 years and dealt with injuries, right? Last year, he didn't pitch as much. The 2 years prior, though, he was an all-star, pile of saves, really good, building the back end of the pen. So, yeah, it's a good add for the Yankees, obviously. And another guy, this is different. This is a trade, not free agency. But there's been a bunch of guys sort of linked to the Red Sox in some way. And we're both thrilled that they got Garrett Crochet, but there's a lot of other guys out there that they weren't able to close the deal
on. So this is my stance on
it.
It's like they shouldn't be done with Crochet. They better not be done with Crochet. So if this is a guy you wanted, the Yankees are getting him. And honestly, I don't know a ton about their farm system, so I don't know what the other names are going to be. Nestor Cortes, good big league pitcher.
Yeah, he's solid.
But that it doesn't feel like this deal is chock full of premium prospects. You're giving up a guy off your big league roster to get help for your bullpen. It's a long way of saying that doesn't feel like a crazy acquisition cost. So if you wanted him, I like to think the Red Sox could have matched or trumped that.
Yeah, you would think so. And I would prefer him to Aroldis Chapman, right?
Or
I mean, the combination might be good. But so, yeah, he goes to the Yankees. And I'm sure the Yankees, again, if they were offering $720 million or whatever for Soto and they just spent $218 on Fried, you know, whatever. I mean, Williams isn't like a big money thing or anything, but I'm sure they're not done. And some of those guys that remain out there, like, they got to be one of the top players for them.
Okay, so add that to the list. 617-779-7937. It's Patriots Friday. We're going to talk to Alex Van Pelt coming up about 10 minutes from now. We also have Mike Nwenu from the Patriots as well on a Patriots Friday leading up to Patriots and Cardinals. On the Celtics last night, you know, other than Pritchard and some of the takeaways there, I do find it very interesting how teams are going to defend them. And last night without Tatum, I don't know if we get the full story on leaving Jrue Holiday open, letting him fire away. I don't think last night was a game you needed to defend the Celtics that way. I don't think last night is an example of it, but I'm still curious of following that because when Tatum and Brown are out there, if you're leaving Holiday to bomb away, I still want to see if teams follow suit or if that was a one-off from Memphis. I don't think last night, given Tatum's absence, is an example of that, but you can certainly throw in my face. Celtics hit 20-whatever threes last night and one going away.
Yeah, they hit 42% of their threes. Jrue Holiday only took four, and he made two of them. So they didn't go that route. Talk about Detroit didn't go that route. I don't think long-term, or even like let's say in a series, I don't think it's going to be all that successful because they don't really play anybody big minutes who can't shoot them. And if it's falling apart...
Except Holiday. I mean, I know Holiday but he's not right now.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But I was saying, like, for his career, he's 37%. Oh, no. Last year, he was over 40%.
For his career, he's done it.
That's not usually the formula for a guy to leave open like that. And if it is a series, and, you know, let's say it's even a do-or-die final game, is Mazzulla stubborn enough to be like, all right, I'm going to keep playing him, or does he change up the lineup? Like, the game that Holiday...
But if you change up the lineup... Now what? Pritchard's in there, and now you're getting picked on at the defensive.
Well, maybe, but I mean, it's a give and take. But in that game that Holiday took all the threes, Horford didn't play, and that was the game that Hauser left early. So those are two other guys that can knock down threes that you could have played that you didn't play in those spots. And I also think, how many times is he going to go 4-for-17? Or is any guy on the team going to go 4-for-17? They all do it. But, like, if that's really the plan defensively for your opponent, like, I think they'll still win more of those games.
So that's Celtics on the Bruins last night. They lose 5-1. Their only goal is on a penalty shot where it was Marchand was awarded a penalty shot after there was a hand on the puck in the crease. They reviewed a goal or a near goal from the Bruins. He was awarded the penalty shot. He scored again. It cut the lead to 2-1. They wound up losing, going away. It was Korpisalo last night.
Corby.
It wasn't Swayman.
No.
But it was 5-1. He gave up 4. They're 0-2 to start the road trip, and they have been outscored 13-2.
So this is concerning because they get blown out by Winnipeg. Winnipeg's a good team, but it was really the third period where the game got just all way off the rails. So you're like, all right, couple days, lick your wounds, come back out. Big game against Seattle. How do you respond? First period, they were terrible. David Pastrnak gets a double minor.
Right away.
You know, there's blood. That rule, by the way, is so odd to me.
Why?
Couldn't you just have like a blood capsule in your mouth at all times and just pop it if you get hit in the chops?
So double minor. You know what?
I would have fake blood on me all the time. Or on Blade like they do in the WWF.
If Bill's your coach, yeah, you're like the Ram.
I'd have a little cut
in your face up.
Yes.
Yeah.
You wouldn't put a little razor blade in your glove, and if you get high stick, you're like, oh, look at this. 4 minutes. So anyway,
it's a Hollywood production.
You immediately give up a power play goal. Uh-huh. Like right off the rip. You're like, hey, thanks, Pastrnak. Right off the rip. They kill off the second one. Then there's Tyler Johnson, who was the healthy scratch for, what, 4 games.
Oh,
then he comes out there.
A bunch of time,
at least. But 4 in a row, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
He comes out there, commits a penalty. They also had one that probably could have gone down as a power play goal allowed, but they like just killed it
right
off.
Right after it, yeah.
Then McAvoy turns it over. So, like, McAvoy turnover, Pastrnak penalty. You can't kill a penalty. They did show, I don't know how many people were up watching this, but they did show a little sign of life, right? 2-0 down. They actually started to kind of tilt it a little bit. The momentum seemed to be going in their way, and they even cut it to 2-1. And you're like, all right, slow start, but this is promising. And then, the third period fell apart again.
But that's kind of what I don't like. Yeah. So the penalties, maddening.
Because they can't kill power plays, so stop committing penalties.
Well, and it's again, some of their best players doing it too. Pastrnak, that's very frustrating.
That's bad.
But the one commonality I would say on this road trip thus far, beyond just giving up a million goals, are those third periods. You're kind of in the game in Winnipeg. It's 3-1.
Yeah.
So you're kind of in that game. 2-1, you're in it. You did not play well to start the game. I'm with you. But you're in it going into the third period, and then you get run off the ice. So I'd keep an eye on that. How are they finishing these games? And, you know, if they continue to struggle, it's only 2 losses to start the road trip, but it's 2 bad losses to start the road trip. They've already made their coaching switch. At what point do they look at making the trades that you felt a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. Keith, weren't far away from making? That's something to watch with the Bruins. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the B's and C's. Celtics win. Bruins lose last night. That feels par for the course.
Yeah.
So all your thoughts there. We're continuing to look ahead to Patriots and Cardinals as well. On a Patriots Friday, we have Alex Van Pelt, offensive coordinator of the Patriots, joining us next. Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. You got the Patriots and the Cardinals. Pat's coming off the bye week on Sunday in Arizona. We got Keefe's Keys on the way. At 1 o'clock, we'll be talking to Mike Nwenu, Patriots offensive lineman, on a Patriots Friday. But joining us right now as part of our coordinator series is offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt. He's brought to you by Rate. Visit Shant, Shant, WEEI.com to learn more. And by McFarland Energy, a Lennox premier dealer. Alex Van Pelt, how are we doing this week?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Good. We're doing great, as always. You had the bye week, a week to, do some self-scouting and some reflection on the season as well. How would you say year one in New England has gone for you to this point?
Still growing, still developing. I think that's where we are right now. We're doing some better things than we did at the beginning of the season, so we're moving in the right direction.
What are you looking to get out of the final 4 games of the season on your side of the ball?
I love to win 4 games. I think that's the most important thing, is come out and try to win every Sunday. But, just continued growth, see the young guys get better each week, effectively running the football like we did last week, staying balanced as an offense, I think is critical for us at this point. So, just constant improvement is really what we're looking for.
Is it fair to say, and I've felt this way from time to time, thinking of some possessions going into the half, thinking of some possessions in the red zone, thinking of, for instance, against the Colts, the possession following the Christian Gonzalez interception that set you guys up with the football, that play calling has gone conservative at various points this year. Is it fair to say that has sunk in some of these games?
We got to execute. That's the big thing. We called 2 of our core runs after the interception. Didn't get enough yards. We had a 3rd and 8. We were a little loose in protection, but we had Pop Wagner running wide open for a touchdown. So you could say it's conservative. I thought we had run the ball, established a run early in that game. 8 minutes to go in the game, we wanted to take some time off of running the football. We didn't get it done. But, I don't know if it's conservative. At times, we like to run the ball in the red zone when we get down there. Looking back, obviously we didn't get it in. We're kicking field goals. That's not good enough. But you know, I'm gonna call what I think is best at the time during the situation. And I don't have any problems with the call, especially in the full the 8 minutes left to go in the game. Again, we got to execute better.
So it sounds like from the way you're answering it, you already gave us the answer. But is that's purely you, or is that something where Gerard says, "Hey, let's run the ball here. Let's run some clock here. Let's be aggressive there." Is that purely your call?
Well, my call, you know, I do what the head coach asks to do, obviously. And then in that situation, I know we wanted to run the football, you know, especially after the interception. We wanted to run the ball. But I'm definitely I work for coach, and if coach says to run the ball, I run the ball. If he says be aggressive, I'm aggressive. So I get to call the plays. But again, you know, Coach Mayo makes some of those decisions.
You know, you said yesterday at your press conference that Jalen Polk's slow rookie season might be in part from the early drops and maybe set him back a little bit mentally. I wonder, as a coach, how do you go about fixing something like that? That's got to be one of the more challenging things to do as a coach, sort of get inside somebody's, you know, mental.
It is. It's tough. But I mean, that's part of building relationships with the players. You need to understand, you know, kind of how they tick and what makes them work and kind of what triggers them to have ups and downs. And I think with Polk, it's just a matter of fighting through. It's never easy. As a rookie, you expect to come in as a high draft pick and have success right away. Maybe that doesn't happen. You hit some adversity. It's really, how do you fight through that? So just continuing to, you know, show confidence in him, you know, him showing confidence in himself and making plays at practice, and hopefully transfer over to the games.
Talking to Patriots offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt. Speaking of the games this week, you're coming off the bye week. You have the Arizona Cardinals. What can we expect from their defense this week?
Yeah, very good defense. They're a little unique. They're not like a lot of other teams in the league. They give you some different personnel groupings. You know, Buda Baker's an exceptional player. He really drives that defense. They give you some exotic looks, and they're a pressure team. So, you know, even on first and second down, there's a high rate of pressure. On third down, there's a lot of zero coverage where there's nobody back, and they're trying to bring one more than you have. So they present a lot of challenges.
You know, Drake May coming off probably his best performance of the season against the Colts. What did you like about his game 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, and he was on fire, really. I thought he threw the ball exceptionally well. His footwork was exceptional. The accuracy, the throws, the decision-making, really strong game for Drake. You know, continue to build on that this week. Again, just really impressed with his ability to, one, just come in and just be cool as a cucumber back there. You know, nothing really flusters him, good or bad. You know, he's an even-keeled guy, and he's really developing well. I'm really proud of the process he's made throughout the year.
We're looking at a three-win Patriots team with a month to go. The offense is 31st in points, 31st in yards. Gerard Mayo was asked about this earlier in the week, whether or not he has been assured or told he'll be back next season. Do you feel like you'll be back next season, or have you been told you'll be back next season?
I'm trying to make it to Sunday, guys. That's it. Just trying to get the best thing out there on Sundays. We'll see what happens after that.
So, but you have not been told you'll be back next season?
No, that never comes up in the course of a season anywhere I've ever been.
You know, a big story this week, obviously, is Bill Belichick taking the job down at North Carolina. And I know certainly you guys didn't overlap here or anything, but have you noticed just the college game and the NFL game sort of morphing together in a way, and maybe, you know, NFL doing more college like type schemes and things like that? Do you see the two becoming closer together?
Yeah, I definitely do. But especially with the NIL money now, you know, the kids are making a lot more money, you know, coming into the league than they used to. And, you know, teams are starting to hire general managers to handle all the finances and the recruiting and the, you know, and who you bring in. So I can definitely see more of a meld between the two.
How do you think he'll do at North Carolina?
I'm sure he'll do well. I mean, he's an outstanding coach, obviously. I think, you know, just him being down there, I think it's exciting for college football also.
Is it easier to scout, like just offensive players, for example, is it easier to scout them now that a lot of the same stuff, a lot of the same, you know, offenses are being seen? Where I feel like 20 years ago, or even like when you were coming out of college, I feel like there was a much more radical jump, certainly in some of the offenses, you know, going from like a Nebraska wishbone into, you know, whatever they were running in the NFL.
Yeah, it's getting easier. I think you're still looking for the talent. I think that doesn't change. You can see explosiveness. You can see a guy's ball skills, his speed, all those things. Those really don't change. It's just now you're starting to see some of the systems come in from the college up into the pros now. You can kind of translate that a little bit better. But really, when you're looking at players, you're looking at their skill set and how they would fit in your system.
It's been a few weeks since we spoke to you here on this show. I'm trying to look again. Marcus Jones, I know, was a limited participant the other day. He didn't participate earlier in the week. He had started to work in on offense, so I don't know about his availability this weekend coming off the bye. Is that something you want to continue to do more of?
Absolutely. You know, he's a dynamic player with the ball in his hands, and I think, you know, we'll try to find spots for him. You know, it's kind of tough sometimes. Defense has a long drive. He's, you know, obviously getting coached up on the sideline. You don't want to steal him away from that. But we have a good system in place now where I can kind of give those guys a heads up what's coming. Hey, get Marcus ready. And then, you know, we have a handful of plays in each week for him now.
You know, you revealed a month or so back that he texted you and mentioned he had played offense. You said you were unaware of that. One of the big things with, you know, Jerod was breaking down silos and communication. How was that not communicated to you by members of the coaching staff? Like, how were you unaware of it?
I think that thing was completely blown out of proportion there. I knew he played offensive football. I just haven't thought about using him in an offensive role until that point during the season. So I was aware that he had played on the offense before. I'd watched the plays. And at some point, when he reached out to me, I said, well, let's get him going on the offensive side. He got blown out of proportion.
You know, was there a reason why he wasn't used earlier in the season? I don't know if it had to do with you guys were carrying more wide receivers, I think, than anybody else in the league. Did it have something to do with that, or are you just trying to work on other guys? Why the delay?
Yeah, the biggest thing is probably just getting our offensive guys playing. we're a new offense going into this, you know, into this year, so just trying to get our guys to play good offense first. But anytime you have a chance to be explosive, we weren't very explosive at times during the first part of the season, so we were looking for more explosive plays.
How does the bye week work for you at this point in time? Is it do you get a little bit of time away? Is it still a lot of work? How does that work?
A lot of work early in the week, kind of going back and reflecting on what you've done well, where you can make improvements with your self-scout. But then having a little bit of time during at the end of the week where we got to go back with the family to our place in Pittsburgh and spend a few days with the in-laws.
Okay.
Oh, real quick, Cole Strange activated off the PUP list. Could we see him make his debut on Sunday?
I hope so. I hope he's getting closer. I know we'll just work through that as the week progresses here. You know, he's practicing now, which is great. I'm proud of him for fighting back and getting ready. We would love to see him at some time here in these last four games for sure.
Okay. He's Patriots offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt. It's the Patriots. It's the Cardinals on Sunday coming off the bye week, all part of a Patriots Friday and our coordinator series here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Alex, we appreciate the time. Best of luck this week.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Right. Alex Van Pelt joining us here, brought to you by Rate and by McFarlane Energy. So a couple of things there. He thinks Bill will do well at UNC.
Mm-hmm.
He has never been told at this stage in the season he will be back for a following year. Fair.
I think that's probably a good sign, actually.
Head coaches are a little different than coordinators in that scenario.
And he's also, if he's not on a one-year deal, it's probably good. Because if it's like, hey, you're definitely back, he'd be like, well, yeah, I thought so, too.
Yeah,
so like, you know, it's like, I think it's...
Go beyond a year.
I think it's probably better that he didn't hasn't been told anything. I think what he confirmed was one of our theories about the conservative play calling is Jerod Mayo.
No, like, he definitely confirmed that. He's like, we wanted to run clock there.
And, like, we ran a play that we thought. So, basically, he's told run clock. So, he then has to go to the best play he thinks there, which was the run play, which got stuffed. But if it was solely up to him, maybe he does take a shot. I know that's what a lot of people want to do. A lot of other offensive coordinators would do that. But even the fans watching that, you come up with a big interception, you're up by seven, maybe take a shot downfield. There wasn't, he mentioned it, 8 minutes left. We're going to bleed all that clock down? Like, you're probably going to give them one more possession.
Right.
You need to score. And so I actually feel even better about Alex Van Pelt, the play caller, because I do think some of these real scaredy cat calls are Jerod Mayo.
So
not going for two is clearly Mayo.
You blame Mayo
back
more than
Tennessee.
Van Pelt for
yes,
that.
Yes, sure. I do.
That's fair.
Because he's also shown enough creativity, I feel like, with some different plays over the last five, six
Look,
weeks. Really, since Drake Mays come in.
I told you this. I don't know that I necessarily feel like he's definitely back, but he should be the safest out of the big four we constantly talk about.
Well, the big four, right. And I think who's safe versus least safe has a lot to do with how Kraft feels about him, but he's the best at his job compared to the other three.
He also said he did know Marcus Jones played offense.
Yeah, I don't think he did. I think he knew that he was like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I think he thought it might come across as like, I don't know, funnier or something, but
That was a misfire.
I think he was trying to be like funny and entertaining and tell it in a funny way. I agree with you on that.
I don't think it was misread. I think it was pretty clear.
Well, maybe.
It made Mayo sound really bad, which I don't think is what it certainly wasn't his intention. Nope. And so that's why he had to walk it back.
So maybe we'll play that for you coming up later on. But we have back-to-back guests here on a Patriots
All
Friday.
Right.
We have Mike and Wenu, Patriots offensive lineman, joining us here on a Patriots Friday, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Mike and Wenu, how are we doing this week?
Hey, I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing good. Oh, we're doing great. We've been spending a lot of time this week with the Patriots on the bye week, really talking about your former head coach, Bill Belichick, at the University of North Carolina. What do you think of the move? How do you think he'll do?
I think he'll do good. I think he'll be successful. I think, you know, something different for him. So, you know, only good things can happen from it. Has a lot of football knowledge, so I'm sure those college guys won't shy away.
You know, as a put yourself back as a high school kid, or even now as a college kid who can transfer, because everybody seems to transfer now. Do you think would there be a lot of appeal to go play for a former NFL coach?
I think it will be a lot of appeal. I think he will bring a lot to the table that I'm sure probably other coaches, you know, don't have the same track record. But you know, just coming from or just seeing that he's just coming from the league, I think a lot of guys would be interested in that. And then should see who he brings in.
You, forgive my ignorance on this. You played for Harbaugh at Michigan. Is that who recruited you when you were there?
Before there.
You were already committed. So maybe it's not a perfect analogy, but I was wondering how much of a factor that was in your commitment, given his NFL ties and just what you're able to learn playing for a former NFL coach.
I would say it played a big role for sure, you know, knowing that I was going somewhere that would get me pro ready. But, as far as my time there, I definitely felt like I was prepared for the next level and for the NFL when I got there. You know, the way we kind of had things running was similar to like how the NFL is and how it was in my first year. So I would say I had a pretty good grip on it of how the life would be.
How was the bye week for you? Were you able to get away a little bit, check out from football?
Yeah, I was able to get away. I went home just for a little bit. It was cold there as well, so I didn't want to stay too long. It was snowing there, and it wasn't snowing here, so I had to get back as soon as possible.
Yeah, we haven't gotten any snow here. I was going to say, it's really plenty cold here, but we haven't gotten any snow here. What do you try to do with your downtime?
Like during the bye week?
Yeah.
Or are you the same in general?
Yeah, well, no. Well, either way. Yeah, I was curious specific about the bye week, but take it wherever you want. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll take it. Bye week was cool. I didn't do nothing. I just went home and saw family. In my free time, though, I'm pretty much just checking out other sports, to be honest, and really just hanging out, reading some books and watching movies.
Nice. Any good movie recommendations?
Yeah, don't give us any books. How about movies?
Yeah, movie. I'm not going to read those. What do you?
I actually haven't been watching. Let me see. I don't remember the last movie I watched, to be honest.
Must not have been.
I've kind of just been watching TV shows and what's been on TV. Really more sports every time.
Okay, so I was just going to ask you this. You say other sports. Does that mean like college football or does that mean NBA? Like what are you watching?
Yeah, that was college football, NBA, basketball, and college basketball as well.
Do you like the college football playoff? I think most people do, but then I'm also, you know, if you're on one of these teams, all of a sudden, your season might be like 20 games long, it feels like. They keep adding games, conference championships. You might play, three or four playoff games. It seems cool, like, on the surface, but if you're a player in it, that's a long year.
I will say, I'm sure, you know, it will probably help with adjusting to the NFL schedule, but, you know, they've been playing 12 games for a while or something, you know, some places, but you know, the more games that they get or the more teams in the playoffs, I'm sure it'll be more games. I'm sure they're not complaining, but, you know, after a few years, we'll see how they feel about it.
There's no baseball to watch right now, but I imagine all professional athletes took note of Juan Soto getting $765 million. Any thoughts on the contrast or the gap between Major League Baseball players and NFL players, the guaranteed money?
Not that I have an opinion on, but you know, as far as future wise, I think my son is going to play baseball or basketball.
Good move. Left-handed pitcher is what you want. That's what you want to do.
You'll be in good shape for
I'm right-handed, but I can train him, man. I can train him up.
Switch him as soon as you can. What can you tell us about this Arizona defense? I know you guys have had a couple of weeks to take a look at them. So what jumps out when you watch them?
I would say they're a well-put defense. They play well together. You know, it's really kind of hard to get a grip on them. They kind of just go out there and play. In terms of, like, you know, you can't really guess what they're going to do. They kind of just do a lot of different things. So kind of just got to be ready for them to spin the wheel and just play what's out there and see the field through the same set of eyes.
Last night, I meant to ask this earlier, but last night, Devondre Campbell, linebacker for the 49ers, was asked to go into the game. He declined. His teammates, George Kittle, Javarius Ward, pretty upset about it. Similar thing happened a few weeks ago with Deontay Johnson. We saw Antonio Brown leave in the middle of a game a few years ago. Has anything ever happened like that on a sideline with you, even going back to high school, where a player refused to go into a game?
No, I've never been around anything like that.
How would you feel if a teammate did?
You know, it's hard to say. It's not my place, obviously, not on the same team. But, you know, as brothers, as players that go through the same thing every day, you know, go through the hard times, practice, summer, and then season, you know, it's kind of a letdown. But, you know, guys are going through different things. You don't know what's going on. So just try to take it that way.
Okay, he's Patriots offensive lineman Mike Mwenu, Pats and Cardinals on Sunday in Arizona. Mike, best of luck this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it, John.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Mike Mwenu, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That is a crazy story.
It's a crazy story. That's that's a level-headed approach to it.
Yeah.
Like, he's out there, he's like, you don't know what these guys are going through. Like, it's true, you don't know what they're going through, but still, like, the guys on his team?
Kittle and Ward might know what he's going through.
I was
going
to say, they were not...
they were not pleased.
No, they were not. They're not okay with it. Yeah, I mean, that'd be a tough thing to deal with. Like, you can't walk back through the locker room. That's for sure.
Oh no, has he been cut today? If he hasn't, he probably will.
Shanahan
basically said they were going to after the game.
Yeah, they kind of have to. Maybe they're looking to try to save some money or something. I bet they're like reading all the fine print,
Can
we get out of this without having to pay him anything?
That's the holdup.
That's what the only thing they're waiting.
That's 100% the holdup.
Yep.
617-779-7937 Patriots Friday. Alex Van Pelt and Mike Mwenu back-to-back there. They will both be up on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. That'll be up there shortly. YouTube as well. Just subscribe to WEEI. It is a Patriots Friday. Lots of bells and whistles. Hopefully you've held off on making any bets, locking anything in. You hear it. It's the keys. Keys. The Patriots and Cardinals. It's next.